It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor this week, tackling a difficult subject we started last week. That's the whole area of gender dysphoria, transgenderism, the movement, the problems this creates for families, certainly for individuals. And Daniel, want to maybe review a little bit about what you talked about last week and launch us into this week?
Yeah, last week we talked a little bit about the history of the diagnosis and what's the natural part of it and what's the unnatural part of it, and the fact that these are being lumped together intentionally under a innocent sounding diagnosis, gender dysphoria. And the target population is the young people. Mm. And, you know, we hear about gay pride, which really turns out to be gay shame. These people, they aren't proud. They're ashamed. We're all ashamed. And we are responding to it in different ways. But this is a, you know, such a culture. There's such a, what's the term, critical mass in this moving in this direction. And hopefully we can touch on why. We talked about LGBT being about shame and, you know, power or comfort in numbers. So it doesn't matter how shameful what it is. What we're doing is, if there are enough of us, we can kind of, you know, win the day, or we can flaunt our shame as though it were some sort of pride. Now, these we're going to find this in the church. I'm going to spend some time talking about this, and I know that there's going to be another show on this. I don't want to rush through it, but so the believer has to ask, and I'm talking about believers who have these, who are wrestling with these issues right now as well. The believer has to ask: does it matter to God? If God looks on the outward appearance, if God looks on my heart, not the outward appearance, God looks on my heart, does my body matter to God? I mean, is there a connection between the body and the soul? Is it intrinsic? Is my body intrinsic to the me that God foreknew? These are things that I think parents of children who are struggling with these things have to understand. You can't just brush these questions off, because as we said last week, if your kids are going to a public school, they're not brushing it off. This is their agenda. Mm-hmm. And you...
this is being presented as a legitimate lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is a question, you know, and it had me stumped. And I'm not sure I have the whole answer for it. But if God looks on the heart, then does my body matter? Is my body sacred? Now, this one thought came to me, and it's from 1 Corinthians 6:19 is the verse, and it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" So if you're a believer, if your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, then is it yours to change as you see fit? When you're frustrated with your body or your circumstances, is that yours to change, just as you see fit? I think the answer is no. I think that if my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, it's not mine to change as I see fit. I don't understand why my body's important to God, but it seems to be. And also, there's this aspect I'll touch on maybe later, is that no, as a believer, as a Christian, I also realize that circumstances in my life are unique to my life, because God is doing a unique work in me and through me. So part of my walk with Christ is not eliminating circumstances and eliminating trials and tribulations and testings. It's going through those things. If I could escape from every test, just imagine yourself turning out for a sport And every time the coach says, let's get down and do some push-ups, you find a reason why you don't have to. Okay, well, then let's do some wind sprints. Well, I'm going to pass on that, too. You're not going to play much of a game. You're not going to have much of a team. Mm. If there is a purpose in life, if we are going toward an eternal purpose that God has, then I should not be looking for ways to eliminate the obstacles and the challenges. And so we can look at some of these things, as painful as they might be, they might just represent things that God needs to do in my life. And as we've, as I would point out, not just in my life as an end in itself, but in my life because there's a greater goal. There's a body of Christ, and I have to function in that body of Christ. I have a role in that body of Christ. I want to talk about God and gender for a minute. I'm going to present a couple of abstract concepts here as we go on. God and gender, you know, is God male or female? And so we say, well, God is neither, but maybe both. I mean, there are he presents in both natures, but in fact, he's neither. God is a spirit and doesn't have a body. Why did God create male and female? Okay, so one person might say, well, you couldn't have babies if you didn't create male and female. Well, certainly creation and procreation, creativity, procreativity, those are parts of God's nature. And I, by the way, I'd say that as I talk about creation, I think of creation as an unfolding of God's nature. In other words, God couldn't be like the old guy sitting up in the clouds thinking, trying to think up ideas of how to create this or that. All those ideas, he could not reach outside of himself and come up with a concept. All of the concepts that God worked with have to be innate to his nature. There would be no other place for him to get these ideas. And so when I think of creation as God unfolding his nature rather than coming up with some abstract ideas of ways to do things. So gender is an unfolding of God's nature too. But the more fundamental – so we talked about creative offspring, having offspring. Yeah, that's obviously part of God's nature too. You know, the whole thing of everything producing after its own kind, whether it be plant or animal. But I think a more fundamental reason, as I said, for gender is that it's a result of God's unfolding nature. Now, I want to present a concept here that's, as I say, a bit abstract. The way that I view creation, you may not agree with this, it's just a way that makes sense to me. And I think of a prism. And I think of setting a prism in front of the window, and there's a light source coming into the prism, and then on one side of the prism and on the opposite side of the prism comes out a kind of a rainbow effect. We have it's light, but it's presented in a different way. I can't see any characteristics of the light going into the prism, but I see characteristics of the light coming out of the prism. So I think of the creation as the prism. And I think of God creating as unfolding his nature in this prism, and then it comes out in what we see as creation. So what does this tell us about God? Well, you can't add all the colors of the rainbow together on the one side of the prism. It will not necessarily equal the whole of the other side of the prism. But it gives some indication of the properties of the other side of that. So we know something, we can deduce something about what's coming into the prism by what's coming out of the prism. We certainly know that the thing that's coming out of the prism has to do with the nature of what's going into the prism. Hmm. So we say, well, is God male or female? Well, on that side of the prism, we don't know what God is. But on this side of the prism, the unfolding of his nature requires male and female. It isn't so much him sitting down and saying, now, gosh, how am I going to make people so that they'll procreate, or trees, or how am I going to do that? I got to figure out. It was merely an unfolding of his nature, which is a procreative, creative, procreative nature. So there's the prism idea of that. So when we ask why male and female, one shortcut is to say, well, on this side of the prism, that's how the nature of God unfolded as he created. It was a very natural thing. That may not answer the question exhaustively, but I think it points us in the right direction. We read, Paul wrote in Romans 1:20 that from the creation of the world, all the visible things of God are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So I say, we can adduce regarding God's nature by what we observe in its unfolding. So God and gender. Hopefully that explains a little bit about God and gender.
Although we want to be careful, though, that obviously the homosexual movement has co-opted the rainbow as their symbol.
Yes, yeah.
So that's not the – you're not trying to conflate that here, but
no.
It's interesting that they would use that as their main symbol.
Yeah, yeah. It's a way of conflating the terms and particularly addressing it to very, very young people, because you could talk to a group of very, very young children. I'm talking preschool and kindergarten and that, and you can see the rainbow, many colors. Doesn't it make sense that there are many kinds of people, you know? And of course a young child would say, yeah, and then they can just build on that very sly conflation. There's an underlying theme of the universe, and this gets back a little bit to the – but hold in mind the prism ideology here. There's an underlying theme of the universe, and that is balance is an underlying theme in the universe. Everything is balanced. There's spatial counterparts. Gravitational forces, strong and weak gravitational forces, those are underlying the universe. Subatomically, you have and magnetically, you have the plus and minus charges, mm-hmm. high pressure, low pressure. The list goes on, you know. And so we have metaphysical aspects of balance too: truth, lie, truth, good, bad. And so gender is one aspect of balance. You've got male and female. Other aspects, you've got the. I think you pronounce this. Dioecious and monodioecious plants. I've probably butchered that, so you can phone in and correct me or send me an email and say you did that wrong.
What does that mean?
Well, plants have male and female too. There are certain plants that
might be why my plum tree isn't producing anymore.
Could be.
There isn't another plant around.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, good old gal or a good old boy. Go out to talk to the plum tree. But you see this in plants. You see this in male and female fish, fowl, mammals. Balance is attributed to God's nature. This balance is attributed to God's nature. So when I come back, I want to just cap this off with a little bit of a discussion about, and this is important, the difference between masculine, feminine, and male, female, because that's part of what they're using to confuse young people in the issues. So. Masculine, feminine is one thing. Male and female is something very different.
Okay, discussing the gender dysphoria, transgender issue this week on Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you're struggling with this issue, maybe you have a loved one that is, you need help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. These shows are going to be podcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can get a hold of them there if you miss part, you want to re-listen to them, BibleBasedCounselor.com under podcasts. Offices, counseling offices, Kirkland Edmonds, and Skype.
Okay, back with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. 6169 or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at gender dysphoria, transgender issues this week on the show. And we left with the interesting question, there's masculine feminine versus male female. What is the difference there, Daniel?
Yeah, took some of these young children that are being unfortunately indoctrinated in the public schools and their culture, and you just showed them a photograph of a group of people, you would say, well, there's men and women. There's two kinds. That's what gender used to be, but they've conflated the term from gender. They've conflated it to where it includes gender traits. Now, the genders are male and female, and there's two. Again, any photograph of human beings and you'll see, yeah, they fall into two categories, they're male or female. I mean, even if they're doing this transitional surgery, they're transitioning to either a male or female.
Right.
There are only two. You're choosing between the two. Now, masculine and feminine, that's different because those are gender traits, and gender traits are shared. That's a spectrum. You have gals that want to drive tractors and fly jets, and you have guys that want to be interior decorators and arrange flowers. And those gender traits are shared. And there's it's a continuum. You have extremely masculine men and men that are not extremely masculine. They have feminine traits. You have women that are extremely feminine, and yet they have some masculine traits. But that doesn't mean they're either male or female. So those are different. The genders are male or female. The traits can be influenced by different things. The traits can be influenced by family of origin. What did your dad do? What did your mother do? How did they interact? How were your physical body can have something to do with your
sure.
traits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a guy is born with a body where he's probably never going to weigh more than 170 pounds and he's delicate, he's probably not going to be a world-class wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy weighs, several hundred pounds, he's probably not going to be an airline pilot, he might be a football player. So the way that you are born, that genetical part of it can influence your choices
mm-hmm.
in life. It
sure.
doesn't dictate them, but it can certainly influence them. And before the break, we talked about the balance. So a proper male and female interaction to me, and we're talking about in particular marriage, the proper female and male interaction creates a dynamic to produce godliness. Now, I want to go back to the idea of the prism. God has his nature is perfect. It's balanced. This side of creation, we're trying to get in some ways to that kind of balance. We're trying to become more godly, and part of becoming more godly is understanding the relationships that of these balances where that seem to be an unfolding of God's nature. So God unfolds here as male and female. Understanding how those two genders interact appropriately gives us the clearest picture of God's nature on the other side of the prism. So why the attack on gender? So now we're getting down to the real purpose of this mm-hmm. movement mm-hmm. attacking the genders, and that is this. It's a blurring of the lines. We talked about balance. We talked about what's coming into the prism and what's going out. If we see the rainbow colors of the prism coming out of the one side, and we decided let's just blur all those colors together and make brown, they would give us an incorrect image or concept of what's coming into the prism.
Which, I am a painter, and that is the color you get if you blend
yeah.
all those colors together. You
yeah.
get brown.
Yeah, and so the only way, the best way of understanding the nature of God that's going into the prism in the God that created, the best way of understanding the God that created is to understand the creation. And so a proper relationship between male and female, between man and woman, is going to give us the clearest image of the creator who created the male and the female. This is the, so it's the blurring of the lines. It's the blurring of our experience of God's nature, our understanding of God. It subverts the righteousness of God. The word subverts means to undermine or to, that's the only term that comes to mind from the definition, unfortunately. Sorry. Undermine the authority and the power of an established institution. I think I said it correctly. Undermine the power and authority of an established institution. That's what it means to subvert, and that's exactly the enemy's primary objective, to undermine the authority and the power of this divine institution. And the institution is God himself, God's nature, what's coming into the prism. By blurring the lines between truth and falsehood, good and evil, male and female, by blurring those lines, the enemy is blurring our concept of the nature that went into the prism or into creation. So Romans 1:21 says, again, we can deduce about the Creator by observing the what He's created. As long as we don't distort what He's created, if we start to blur those lines, then it gives us a distorted. So I think that is what's behind the attack on the gender.
In a spiritual sense, yeah.
Yeah, in the spiritual sense,
10,000-foot view. But getting back down to where people are living and trying to help people, that's kind of the work that you have to do as a counselor.
Yeah.
And parents have to do.
And parents have to do. And I think that part of doing that is to understand what the enemy is trying to do. And again, to understand the argument. So I was going to do this later, but this seems like an appropriate time to do it. Let me say a little bit. I might bring it up later again, but let me say a little bit about public education. Somebody brought this up in one of the sessions not too long ago. I used to say when I was, because quite a few years ago when our daughter was going to school, she went to Christian school for most of her education. And finally, we sent her to 2 years of public school education. And I think a lot of damage was done in the public school education, but even
just for 2 years.
Just for 2 years. But at that point in time, and so, see, one of the things I maybe didn't consider that when we sent her to the public school, we sent her there at that very age when she would be pulling away from us anyway. And this gave her so many avenues to travel down. And so, even still, I used to say to parents, because I was raised in a Christian school, and I kind of resented that at some times because our sports teams were never as powerful, and the student body was smaller. We didn't not the cross section of culture, and so I always thought that kids that come from private schools or even homeschooling are a little bit stunted in their social.
Sure.
But today it's like it's different. And I say to parents, should we send our kids to the public school, and then when they come home, we can address the issues? Well, on the one hand, they're going to be at the school for several hours. Are you going to take that amount of time listening to what they learned and then double that because now you're going to have to counter it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to take 5 minutes and say, what did you learn at school? And say, and then all that stuff that's gone into their head.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. Would you rather play defense or would you rather have the ball? Do you want to try to counter everything they've heard in the past 3, 4, 5, 6 hours? Or would you rather be the instructor and just deal with the objections as they come? And I think I'd rather be the instructor. I'd rather have the ball than be playing defense.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that in today's school that they are learning about all these other subjects besides reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
And, 'cause schools aren't just focusing on the basic issues to help you to learn and read and solve math problems.
Yeah.
They're getting into all this social engineering.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge that we've never faced before.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it for this week. Obviously, a huge issue. We'll do another show on this subject of the You know, I think a lot of there's good intentions in some of this because they see kids struggling with their identity and things and getting suicidal over these feelings, and they want to help them to not feel suicidal or feel depressed. And so maybe the motives are good, but it causes more problems than it solves.
No, if you don't start with the worldview that life has order because of the order of the life giver, if you don't start with that, you're just the blind leading the blind.
Totally. You know? Okay, if people need help on this subject or anything, any other kind of counseling, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website. If you do so, please include a phone number. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're also going to find these radio shows in the podcast area of BibleBasedCounselor.com. Office, Kirkland Edmonds, and Skype as well.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.